Your brothers and sisters in Christ, today's message is the summary of the seven churches. So far, I've been delivering messages about the seven churches found in the Revelation of John. So far, I told you five churches, and there are only two left, which are the Church of Philadelphia and Church of Laodicea. Well, before I explain about the rest two churches, I would like to summarize the sermons about the seven churches so far. Pastor Gil's Tae-shik, you know, emphasized on the importance of the messages of the seven churches about 2 weeks ago. Actually, the messages of these seven churches are like in reference to ministering churches, and it becomes the standard of judgment on the last final judgment. Therefore, you know, I prepared this in a summary so that you can make bread of it. Most of all, the first prayer title of 2019 of the church is the early church. Well, actually, the seven churches found in the Revelation, you know, become the models, you know, of the early church. So if you make bread of this message, then it will help you to pray for the first prayer title of 2019. Well, actually, I tried to deliver this message in 2015. However, at the time, I thought, I didn't, feel adequate. So I told you about the messages about the church in Ephesus and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And then 3 years later, 2018, I started to deliver the message about seven churches starting from June. Well, Senior Pastor actually delivered the messages about the seven churches from July 20th, 1986. And there were about like 27 messages. Well, for your reference, Senior Pastor delivered the messages about, the lecture on Revelation in 1986 first, and then he delivered the message from 2006 till 2009.
These messages were preached 30 years ago, but I received much grace while I prepared for the messages based on them. I think the messages delivered 30 years ago are now so necessary and give us realization and discernment. I gained much realization and discernment and received strength and comfort. Going through this trial of a blessing, I've been having a hard time and my heart was broken as well. But the Lord's given me strength and hope through these messages, praise and prayer. As Psalm chapter 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. I was strengthened and comforted by God's word when I prepared to preach." As I told you, I'm going to review and summarize the messages tonight. I hope you will understand well, discern everything based on the message, and check your individual faith through the Word. We sometimes fail to see the state of our faith. It's like we don't know well our physical health condition for ourselves. That's why people have a medical checkup to examine their physical health state. Likewise, we need to examine our faith, and it's important to have spiritual discernment. Some people look fervent but go the wrong way because of their poor discernment. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will gain the ability to discern and check your faith tonight. Above all, the word that was given to the seven churches is the word helpful for all churches to be better churches, and it is like a signpost. Thus, I hope you will achieve our first prayer title, Early Church, quickly through this message.
Now, to help you understand the seven churches, I'll briefly explain how seven churches were established and what were their backgrounds. Let's go back to the time of the Lord's crucifixion. After our Lord died on the cross and resurrected, the Holy Spirit came upon His disciples on the Pentecostal day, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the beginning of the Christian church. And they preached the gospel not only in Jerusalem, but also in Samaria and many parts of the Roman Empire. And they suffered from countless persecutions and afflictions. However, despite that persecution, they had hope for heaven. They believed in the Lord and they preached the gospel. And they died as martyrs. Well, actually, the history of the early church is called the history of blood. So many people died as martyrs. But their blood became the foundation of Christian churches back then. Acts 6:4 says, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Apostles devoted themselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. So they set up deacons to minister the churches that the disciples did before. And they revived the church greatly, concentrated on preaching the gospel. Well, actually, their sermons were mainly about Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and resurrected in 3 days. And that was the core of the revival of early church.
As the apostles stayed together with the Lord, witnessed the resurrected Lord, and experienced His power, it brought about great authority to them, and great work took place when they preached. 5,000 men came to believe through the first sermon of Apostle Peter. His sermon made such many people repent, but it was not about living in goodness. It was not about morality or ethics. He preached only about the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ's crucifixion. The main topic of the Bible is also the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and based on the gospel, the early churches grew up quickly and even made the Gentiles believe. Acts chapter 7, chapter 6, verse 7 says, "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." As it says, even the Jewish priest became obedient to the faith. Senior pastor also gave us logical explanation on the message of the cross, so even rabbis in Israel became obedient to the faith. He boldly proclaimed Jesus is our only Savior in Israel. And many people converted to Christianity. In the same manner, the early churches grew up quickly and spread the gospel in Samaria and even in Roman Empire, but they were faced with great persecutions. But their love and faith in the Lord never cooled down. They firmly kept their faith, and finally, in 313, when Constantine the Great announced the Edict of Milan, Christianity became the state religion. Now they were free from any persecution. However, as they came to lead comfortable believing lives, their first fervor started to cool down. The official approval of Christianity as the state religion was a huge shift, but it served as a cause to secularize churches. Of course, we shouldn't see the official recognition in a negative perspective.
But actually, they kept
오히려 이 자유를 찾게 되자 예전에 누리지 못했던 풍요와 세상의 호화로움에 물들어가는 성도들과 또 이 순수한 복음을 세상과 타협하는 교회들이 생기기 시작한 것입니다. 물론 모든 교회가 다 그런 것은 아니었지만 그 뜨거웠던 열정이 식어지기 시작한 건 사실입니다. 거기다가 2세기에 들어서면서 이단이 등장하게 되고 교회는 또 다른 차원의
In the beginning of the second century, heresies came forth and churches were attacked in a different level. You know, they deteriorated the Bible and the heresies, you know, invaded the churches. The strongest heresy at that time was Gnosticism. Well, it's hard to explain. However, to help you understand it, you know, just briefly, what it is that they say, since Jesus came to us in spirit, flesh that we can see is not important. That's their doctrine. So, they say, even if you commit any kind of sin, since your spirit is clean, it doesn't matter. The Nicolaus of the early church made the synagogue and left the church because of this, you know, idea. However, this idea spread to the many educated people from minor Asia, Asia Minor to Egypt. And because of them, you know, the churches were secularized because they believed that even if they committed sin with their flesh, their spirit could be saved. So these heresies are the work of Satan. Back then, they didn't have any official Bible. So they couldn't, you know, they couldn't stand against the heresies. So, they started to officialize the Bible to protect their churches and the members. Well, disciples, you know, preached the gospel based on what they heard from the Lord and based on the letters of the apostles. So, they didn't have official Bible. So, they couldn't find the firm standard, which one is the orthodox and which one is the heresy. So they began to officialize the Bible. So there were many books from the past and the Gospels and the similar teachings. However, they only chose the books that were written in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So with the Old Testaments, and they collected letters from Apostle Paul and the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And around 200 AD, they finally came to have one official Bible. The Bible helped the early churches to have firm faith, and the Bible was the standard to discern heresies. Therefore, to be protected and have the power of discernment, we gotta arm ourselves with the Word.
In order to win in spiritual battle, we first need to discern well. That's why the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus mentioned the spiritual battle with evil spirits. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 says, Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. It means we need to be armed with the word of God to discern heresy and discern spirit. Senior pastor told us many times to read a chapter and memorize a verse of the Bible even from 10 years ago. You watch the testimonies of those who received healing and blessing by obeying His word in the previous Manmin magazine. The early church members became aware of the spiritual battle when some heretical groups appeared. When you examine the growth of the seven churches and the early churches, they have something in common. All of them were under external persecution, but the persecution was a driving force to make them grow up fast. But the appearance of heresies was a main cause to secularize churches. Some churches of the seven were influenced by the heresies.
Because of the time given,
여기까지만 설명해드리고 본론으로 들어가겠습니다.
Of the seven churches. Now I'll get back to the actual point. The seven churches in Asia Minor were the actual churches that existed in our history. And they were the churches that Apostle Paul ministered in his early ministry history. So those churches become the model churches of today. So Father God let him choose those churches who believed in the message of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord and to preach the will of God. However, well, those churches became the model churches of today, right? But they changed later and they eventually received the rebuke and reproach from the Lord. Even back then, they did that. You know, they received the praises and they received the rebuke and the reproach. I'll tell you who received that, who received what. Well, I hope you can discern your church belongs to which part. Well, you know that there are churches where there is no more fire of prayer or the Holy Spirit died. Or there are many synagogues in a church. Some blind people lead another blind people. Obviously, the Lord cannot be with those in such churches. So far, I told you about the seven churches to help you understand what church, and I mean, which kind of category your church belongs to. Well, as you review as I deliver this message, repent completely and fix what is to be fixed so that, you know, I hope you can, your church can be the church that the Lord is pleased with. And I hope your church can receive the praise later on. So let's look into the seven churches now.
I'm going to tell you about the church in Ephesus first. The church was established in AD 34. And the name means admirable. It was set up by the apostles who had been taught by the Lord himself. So that is why the name is admirable. It's really admirable. It was founded by Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey. He put the most effort in preaching the gospel there. After the Lord was resurrected, the apostles preached the gospel in Jerusalem, but they were deported, and Paul began his missionary journey. On his first journey, he set up this church. After he martyred, Timothy ministered to the church. After Timothy martyred, Apostle John ministered to it. This church was a center of ministries of such outstanding apostles, so Ephesus is one of the most meaningful cities for Christians. I will tell you about a grace-filled story about Apostle Paul in Ephesus.
According to Jerome of Track, when Apostle John became old, it was difficult for him to deliver a message. So from time to time, he delivered the message to the members of the church in Ephesus, and giving them this kind of advice. Whenever he met those members, he said, "My sons, love each other." He repeated it all the time. So the members got bored, and they once told him like this, "Apostle John, why do you repeat the same message again and again?" And Apostle John said, "That's the command of Jesus." The church in Ephesus was the center of apostles' ministry. When Apostle Paul baptized the members, the Holy Spirit came down and then people began to speak, tongues and prophesied. And there was a great revival in the church. Another reason of the great revival was the discipling and the disciples, you know, training. Apostle Paul trained many disciples in the whole of, you know, Tyrannus. There, through the very in-depth class, he helped the students stand on the Word of God. And from that whole of Tyrannus, students like Apollos and Timothy graduated from there. And through those disciples, his disciples, other seven churches were established. And among them were Timothy, Apollos, Priscilla, Aquila, and then Tychus. Since the church of Ephesus were well trained by Apostle Paul, he took the leading role in the history of early church. So therefore, this church was very proud, and it had a strength in discerning things in a spiritual way. But that's why they were successful in discerning the heresies and defeated the Nicolaitans.
Paul mentioned a spiritual battle in his epistle to the church in Ephesus. The Ephesians explains what we should do to stand against the schemes of the devil. The sixth chapter tells us to put on the full armor of God. The Lord gave churches weapons for them to win in spiritual battle, such as the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. I heard someone say this: if a church didn't fight against the devil, the church is just a place of social gathering. Of course, it doesn't mean that you should fight in a physical sense. You know it very well. It's the end time when the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. No, Pastor Susan Lee already talked about, preached the message about this, the putting on the full armor of God. Now, it's the end time when the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We need to win in the spiritual warfare by staying spiritually sober, discerning spirit, and putting on the full armor of the Word. Now, then let's look into the Lord's praise and reproach to the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. He praised them for their toil and perseverance without growing weary, and for not accepting those who call themselves apostles, and they are not.
Well, it's not easy to reveal those evil people and the false apostles. Well, some may say that church got no love. However, in the Bible, Father God commanded to destroy Amalekites, and he actually destroyed Korah and his household. It is written in the Bible. He didn't judge them because he didn't have love. We know that. So to protect the church of Ephesus, you know, they revealed the false apostles to protect their church. Senior pastor once said like this when he messages for about Ephesus. From time to time, Father God allows the test to reveal the false things inside the church. And when the time comes, His beloved children may face some persecution and some pain. However, it is allowed because the kingdom of God will be more strengthened. So, the children of God should persevere, endure, and give thanks to Father God. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? And Senior Pastor emphasized that through such a persecution and test, your faith should be firm and you got to have goodness.
The church in Ephesus tried to live by the word, worked faithfully, loved each other, and enjoyed gathering. They tried to cast away things against the truth and had spiritual discernment. It's similar to our church. If they got scores, they would be ranked at top. But they heard shocking reproach from the Lord. It's because they left something really important, the most important thing, that is their first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Since they left the first love, they heard a very shocking rebuke. He said he would remove their lampstand out of its place. It's about salvation. That is, they might not be saved.
As I was preparing for this message, I thought about this. Well, if they had not lost their first love, the church in Ephesus would be the best model case. Because they got spiritual discernment, they got good faith, they got love and good deeds. So they would have become the best church. So what if they had not lost their first love and kept their faith? What? How good would that be? So changing is something that we should avoid, right? So I thought myself that, well, what if we don't change from what we used to be before? Well, there are many churches which had a great fervor and great in the first love. However, after they experienced great revival, they became arrogant, and their fervor and love for the Lord cooled down. So, this message is for those in such churches and pastors. Well, actually, I fall into this category. I should have kept that first love, but after I heard that I became the man of spirit, you know, I kind of lazy. Well, I love to pray to the Lord. But once I entered the spirit, you know, I became lazy and my prayer got cooled down. And I didn't call to the Lord in my prayer or in during praises as I used to. However, as I was going through this moment of blessing and experiencing these and those, you know, I called to the Lord whenever possible. Like, you know, when I was praying or walking on the street or driving. I think I called to the Lord like countless, hundreds, more than 100 times. One day, I got soaring heart, so I cried during driving. I had to drive for about an hour. For all that hour, I cried. I confessed to the Lord that, "My Lord, my heart is aching," and I turned on the radio. The moment I turned on the radio, there was a praise. The lyric says, "Don't get hurt. I'll protect you. I'll love you with all my life." As I heard it, the tears burst out. And I was truly inspired. And I cried a lot. And I couldn't stop it because I felt the love of the Lord who knew my heart and comforted my heart. I felt like that car was filled with the love of our Lord. So I felt the love and grace, and I decided to maintain this desire to pray to our Lord. So, the message about the church in Ephesus is the message to remember the moment that you were full of the first love for the Lord. and repent. So as I prepared this message, I thought about the Lord who died on the cross. And I prayed to Father God to recover my love and grace that I received from the Lord.
Dear brothers and sisters, although the church in Ephesus was set on a strong base of doctrines, discerned well, and had a special fervor for their duties, they'd forgotten the most important essence of their faith. So any wonderful deed or strength of them didn't mean anything to the Lord. The very nature of churches is in love for Jesus Christ and faith in Him. If a church lost the love for the Lord, even if it does everything else very well, the church cannot but be forsaken by the Lord. Therefore, we also need to check if we lost our first love for the Lord through the word given to the church in Ephesus. If we did, we should repent and turn back so that God will never remove our lampstand out of its place.
Let me briefly look into the church in Smyrna, the second church. The church in Smyrna is the only church that didn't receive nor praise nor reproach. It only received the word of a piece of advice. It was established 100 AD. The city had the meaning of fragrance. Back then, the persecution of Roman Empire reached its peak. Many martyrs were born, and however, through that persecution and affliction, their faith got stronger, and the gospel was preached more. So just like the name of the church, the gospel was spread like in fragrance. Back then, Apostle John's, first disciple, Polycarp, ministered the church. But he died as a martyr, and the church had to suffer from persecution. However, they got the promise of receiving the crown of life. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So they had to face persecution and affliction. However, the Lord said it would turn into blessing. So when they were faithful, without changing, our Lord promised to give them a great reward. So His message contains the word for the church and the members who used to be faithful, but now face any kind of persecution and affliction. But ask them to have hope for heaven and glory. So now I'm going to go to the next church.
Let's see what the Lord said to the church. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth." This church heard the word of both praise and rebuke from the Lord. They were praised for not denying faith under many persecutions, and even when Antipas was killed among them. But they were reprimanded for the fact that there were people who held the teaching of Balaam and Nicolaitans.
Well, this message is for the churches who compromise the world and who are stained by the Erasers. Well, it says about the Balaam and the Nicolaitans. First of all, what we should be warned about the teaching of Balaam is that he knew the will of God, but, you know, he got blinded by wealth, and he went the way of death. So we should never compromise with the world, departing from the word of God. No matter how trivial it is, if we lose heart, then we will eventually get trapped by the accusation of Satan. If you accept temptation of Satan, we will lose our heart. And then eventually Satan will take control of our heart and we will fall into sin. Those people who once used by God but fell into the world fall into the same category. Balaam the prophet knew how to communicate with God. So he heard the voice of God and he was used by God. However, he didn't cast off greed for money and selfish idea. So he denied that he disobeyed the word of God and eventually he was forsaken by God. Well, I gave detailed explanation about him when I delivered the message about the church in Pergamum. Well, and you have to refer to Senior Pastor's lecture on Revelation number 14, delivered by a senior pastor. So we gotta get away from this teaching of Balaam. Now, they were people who followed the teaching of Nicolaitans in the church of Pergamum. Well, they were saying that, you know, even if they commit sin, they would be saved. Obviously, it was the teaching of Hierasus. It's very dangerous. As I told you before, Nicholas, who used to be a very faithful deacon in the early church, was affected by the Gnosticism. And eventually he made a synagogue and left the church, and he used as an instrument to destroy the church of the Lord. His teaching was that even if you commit sin with your own flesh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the fact that your spirit could be saved. But this is the idea, which is very dangerous, to lead your spirit and soul to destruction. People who think, you know, living by the word of God is too difficult, and those who love to follow the world, you know, follow this teaching because of this teaching. So, you got to aware that you should not follow the teaching of Nicolaitans. You just, you know, pray from time to time and you don't worship God in spirit and truth and you commit sin, but you think, it's okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me too long. You know, it is not that much different from the teaching of Nicolaitans. Therefore, you have to discern by the word of God and you have to make yourself separate from those people who follow the teaching of Balaam and Nicolaitans. And you should never fall into their category.
I will tell you about the church in Thyatira. The church was praised since their deeds of late are greater than at first. But they were rebuked for tolerating the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, compromising with the world and fall into idol worshiping. The rebuke was also a fatal one for a church. It's because the church accepted what they shouldn't have accepted and became a church that couldn't work as a church. They shouldn't have accepted such a thing. What then did the Lord say to the church in Thyatira? Revelation chapter 2 verses 18 through 20 says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like a burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. The church had love, faith, service, perseverance for the kingdom of God, and their deeds of late were greater than at first. So they got the Lord's compliment for this, but the Lord's word also implies that their deeds should be more truthful, and the faithfulness without the circumcision of the heart was just fleshly faithfulness. I told you before. And they were reprimanded for being tempted by the woman Jezebel, who was a false prophet, and eating things sacrificed to idols. Dear brothers and sisters, the love and faith and service and patience in Thyatira church are very important factors for the church's revival. But the more important thing is the pure word of God. That is, the gospel. We have to keep the gospel of the Lord. That's the more important thing. But the church in Thyatira, they accepted the false prophetess like Jezebel. So they distorted the pure gospel of God, and it led to the destruction of the church. So the church in Ephesus, the people had spiritual discernment, so they tried to keep the pureness of the gospel so they could drive away the heresies, and they could discern the heresies. But the people in the church in Thyatira could not discern the heresies, so they just accepted the heresies from the people like Jezebel, so they could not avoid the judgment.
The false prophets and who belong to the heresies tempt people with the word of God. Senior pastor once said this. Well, when someone says, let's, you know, stand against God along with me, let's commit sin. If someone says like this, then those with faith will never listen to him. However, there are people who approach us with the word of God. Like this, I am prophet, I communicate with God, I receive the word of God from God. There are people who are tempted by such people without, you know, discerning them by truth. So, you have to circumcise your heart, you got to be armed with the truth, and you got to discern with the word. Then, the false prophets will be revealed eventually. False prophets lie for their own benefit, and they bring all kind of evil schemes and crafty way to bring, you know, some chaos to the church and to bring difficulties to its members. You know, we gotta help our members to love the Lord, but you know, they rather teach fleshly things and follow them in a fleshly way. So members actually, you know, love them because they lack, you know, fleshly love, and eventually they stay away from the love of the Lord. It's dangerous, isn't it? So our senior pastor warned us many times not to tolerate the man like Jezebel, because the souls of spirit of members will die. Of course, we have to, you know, advise them and reproach them with love. But if they don't turn back, but destroy the church and hinder the glory of God, then it is not love to, you know, let them as they stand. So, the church in Thyatira was severely rebuked by the fact that they tolerated the false prophets like Jezebel. But the Lord gave them a chance to repent. Our Father God showed His mercy. Now, Revelation 2:21 says, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. So they didn't repent, and she had to face the judgment of God. Now, the church in Thyatira was established in the early days of, you know, Christian history. Now, such a church could not discern, and they were stained by the heresy. Now, what about the churches of today? The spiritual world and the fleshy world got mixed up together, and the Antichrist, the forces are so strong. 4. We gotta stay awake. We gotta discern between good and evil. As I told you before, you know, the church in Ephesus, you know, defeated the heresy not because they got no love. It was a way to survive, to protect the church, and it was the word of the Lord. That's why they did that. So even if you're tempted by the heresy or the temptation of false prophet, I hope you can turn back quickly. And you gotta listen to the earnest, the desire of the Lord. The church in Thyatira was faithful. However, our Lord rebuked them because they were staying away from the will of God. Even if they were fleshly faithful, they didn't actually circumcise their hearts. So their faithfulness was fleshly faithfulness, and it has nothing to do with God. And they were tempted by the temptation of false prophets like Jezebel. We gotta make bread of this message. And we should never become like in the church in Thyatira, who accepted the teachings of heretics. We should never stand against the word of God. Now, I will tell you about the church in Sardis.
The fifth church I will explain now is the church in Sardis that heard only words of reproach without any words of praise. The church in Sardis would be ranked the lowest among the seven if each church was given marks. I told you in the previous sermon. It's because they heard from the Lord a word that sounded hopeless. He said something like, "You are dead and have no hope." What did the Lord say to the church in Sardis? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." He said to the church in tonight's scripture, "You are alive, but you are dead." It means that the church looked alive, but it was actually dead. In other words, they professed that they believed in God and the Lord and that they were saved. But from the viewpoint of the Lord, they had nothing to do with salvation. But the people in Sardis church lived their believing lives with no connection with God. Without the connection with God, they just offered up services and praised with the sense of formality. You know, the baby should be connected to her mother. It's like this. We should be connected with God to sustain the spiritual life. Without the connection with God, they just offered up services and praised with a sense of formality, but they were not aware of their spiritual state, so they didn't even have a fear, though they had a faith that is dead. The church in Sardis was spiritually dying. In fact, many churches are similar these days. They perfunctorily go to church and worship, but they are spiritually numb. There are so many churches that lose their identity as churches, being stuck in the reality and enjoying material abundance. No life is felt in the churches. Even if a church has strife inside, if it has life in it, the church still has a chance of recovery. But it's not easy for churches that are spiritually dying to be recovered. It's much harder to revive churches that are quietly dying, though there is no strife. We may be able to awaken some churches that are asleep, but if a church does not wake up, though we shake it out of sleep, the church may already have died. We must not have such dead faith. What then should we do not to have such dead faith? We must not forget the time when we listened to the gospel of salvation for the first time. The joy we felt when we realized the love of the cross and the love that we had for the Lord. And we must long to have intimate fellowship with the Lord in the Holy Spirit and feel the joy from heaven and conviction in salvation. Next is the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia is the good example of all churches. The church is the only church that was only praised by the Lord. Before I explain the praise given by the Lord given to the church in Philadelphia, I will explain about the city, this Philadelphia. The name of the city means the love for brothers, and it was founded in, the city was founded in second century BC. And the earthquake frequently hit the city, so it could not be developed well. The population was just 1,000 people, and this city was under the control, the ruling of Roman Empire. The Roman Empire made them worship their emperors. So, and they persecuted the people in Philadelphia for 300 years. So many people left the Christ, the Savior, and they left the church, and they compromised with the heresies. It's similar to the people in the church, Thyatira.
However, in this kind of, in a very difficult situation, the members of the church in Philadelphia didn't deny the Lord. Well, actually, back then in the history of the early church, there were many Jewish people converted to Christians. So those Jewish people were excommunicated. Well, back then, excommunication means death for them. They couldn't maintain their living. They couldn't make money. They were excommunicated. They were alienated by their own brothers and sisters, and they were greatly persecuted. They were even killed. So they got very weak in that kind of state. Well, they suffered from the persecution of Jewish people better than the persecution of Roman Empire. Despite such severe persecution, they didn't betray the Lord. So, what did our Lord say to the church in Philadelphia? Revelation 3, verses 8 to 10 says, I knew your deeds. Behold, I put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I'll cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. If we think of this message, our Lord praised them for two things. First, they didn't deny the name of the Lord with their little power, and even in difficulties, they kept the word of perseverance. Well, because of the time given, I'll tell you a summary of the praises given by our Lord to the church in Philadelphia. First of all, even with little power, they didn't deny the name of the Lord. Well, what does it mean? Well, the little power has two meanings. First of all, it means small faith, little faith, as small as a mustard seed. That small mustard seed grows up to become a big tree where the birds in the air take rest. The faith starts as a little. But later on, the faith will grow strong and eventually become big faith, great faith. Until the tree becomes big tree, it may face severe drought or heavy rainstorm or snowstorm, or they may, you know, it has to fight against, you know, worms and insects. But once it overcomes them all, they become big tree where the birds in the air can take rest. The church in Philadelphia had this little power. Even when they had the little measure of faith, they kept the word of the Lord that they heard and learned. And no matter what kind of persecution or difficulties they faced, they won by faith and kept their faith. So they didn't deny the name of the Lord. They won victory by defeating the world. Well, all of you who are here have kept your faith, beginning with this kind of little faith. Some of you have been in this church from the start of this church, or like for 30, 20, 10, or 5 years with the church. All of you started with the little faith. And as your faith and you grew up, you may face this kind of persecution and that kind of difficulty. However, Father God was with us as in a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. But the way that Ma Min has walked so far was not prosperous. Sometimes we had to toil, and we have to endure the church-wise tests. We had to face in the persecution. We felt like we are drifting in the vast ocean. Sometimes we have to, you know, watch all those, you know, well-grown fruits fall down in a heavy storm. So our hearts were soaring before. However, you obeyed the teaching of our senior pastor. You kept the word of God, and you didn't deny the name of the Lord. No matter what persecution you faced, you won victory. That's why you are here. The Lord said to the church in Philadelphia, "You have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name." We should never deny the name of the Lord by keeping the word of the Lord until we stand before the Lord. There is only one, who is Jesus Christ, who can open the door of salvation for us.
Having a little power has two meanings, I told you. The second meaning is that even though you have a big power in reality, but you act like as if you had a little power. And we can see this case through Jesus. Jesus is one with God, and he has the same power and authority with God. And he is he's God's begotten Son. But he came to the earth in the form of man who is lowly and humble, and he lived as man. He didn't say, "I have a limitless power and I am the Son of God." He didn't say it like this. And he didn't do everything. He did everything according to the justice and the will of God. And finally, he sacrificed himself to obey the will of God. Although he had great power, he did everything according to the justice as if he had a little power like man. He overcome everything with faith and love. This means that having a little power, but having kept my word. And now I will tell you about another point of praise given by God. It is the church in Philadelphia was praised for having kept the word of perseverance. We need patience when we have to keep the word of God, and especially when we have a little power, we need more patience. Because we have a strong will to follow the untruth. So we have to pray more to follow the truth. And even though we still have a form of evil, when we try to cast it away, Father God recognizes us as having kept the word of perseverance. He sees our effort as the deed of faith.
Now, let me look at this fact from a different perspective. Well, we may face some unexpected things. We may face some great difficulties that is beyond our scope. Some got disappointed and disheartened and give up. Others endure it and overcome the difficulties. Now, the people of God choose the way of, you know, pray and endure it. Well, let me tell you more from the perspective of the Bible. There is a term called in Greek, in the huifo moment, which means aggressively overcoming difficulties despite any kind of difficulties. Let me tell you again, despite all kind of difficulties, the state of overcoming difficulties, you know, aggressively. Perseverance is your attitude, which is not shaking because of strong faith. In other words, when you face difficulty, you believe in the Lord and you depend on the Lord while you pray, with the faith that you will surely receive answer from the Lord. That is the perseverance by faith. It is greatly different from just enduring things with the vague hope. But those people with such kind of vague hope usually, you know, fall down and give up. Therefore, no matter what kind of, you know, difficulties you may face, you gotta believe and depend on the Lord who gives you only the good things and overcome those difficulties.
Let me get back to the main point. The church in Philadelphia was praised for keeping their faith, though they had a little power, and keeping the word of perseverance. In the process of believing life, some people may lead relatively easy and comfortable believing lives. But most people undergo many trials in the course of human cultivation on the earth. However, after they discovered their shortcomings in the process and came to live by the will of God, they realized that every trial in their lives was a passage leading to blessings they've received. Psalm chapter 119 verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." I believe after we pass through this trial and enter heaven, we will feel from our hearts that every step of human cultivation we receive on the earth is a great blessing and offer up joy and thanks to God. But the joy is a privilege given only to those who keep the word of God with perseverance and overcome trials and difficulties with faith.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in the days where we need this kind of perseverance. Senior Pastor wrote me a New Year message. Our Father God makes everything work for good. We gotta believe in Him. We gotta depend on Him till the end. And if we persevere and pray, then Father God will surely answer with the best things. Like the hymnal song lyrics, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving will be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, He is He, it is He, the Lord, Sabbath, His name." from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. We cannot win the spiritual battle if we rely on our own strength. However, if we depend on our Lord and believe him with good faith and pray earnestly, then our Lord will fight on behalf of us and win victory for sure, and we will surely receive answer. For the captain of the host is Jesus. We're following in his footsteps. No foe can stand against us in the fray. You know, we sang that praise in the last Friday service, right? I felt joy and ecstasy in my heart. You look so happy. You look so happy then. Well, I was happy to sing those, you know, hymns that I used to sing before. I got beautiful memories when I used to sing, you know, those, you know, hymns. I felt, you know, in an ecstasy deep in my heart, and I experienced great grace. I was so happy. As I was singing to the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit was, you know, rejoicing in our hearts. That hymn was to the praise, to acknowledge our Lord. And this kind of songs has great power. You know, when Apostle Paul and Silas sang praise to the Lord, there was a great earthquake and a prison door got opened, and there, you know, they were freed. So, when we sing like this, you know, the spirit of darkness leave us and the devil hates it. I'll tell you three kinds of works of power through praise. First, weariness will go away and joy will spring out. And second, answers will be given quickly. And third, we are saved from conflictions. So, as we depend on our Lord from the depths of our heart and sing praises to our Lord, grace may come upon us, and we will receive strength to overcome any difficulties, and we will receive answers. Well, this is the testimony that I heard. It's a real story. A doctor who was in an internship had this kind of experience. By the mistake of a nurse, you know, the patient became unconscious, but the doctor who was in internship had to take the responsibility. But you know, he decided to rejoice more and sing praise to our Lord. And while driving, you know, he sang this in a hymn. We used to sing this song quite a lot. My soul, praise the Lord. Give thanks. Rejoice. Praise Him with all my things in me. Do you remember this? Well, he was singing this hymn while he was driving. Then later, he got a call. The patient came back to his sense. Glory to God. And he asked when he became, you know, he came to sense, and he confirmed that, you know, the patient, you know, wake up while he was singing the hymn. So, I would pleased if we can praise our Lord and sing praises to our Lord. As we do so, we can receive, you know, His answer quickly.
The last and seventh church is the church in Laodicea. In the interest of time, I will explain the church briefly tonight. I'll give a more detailed explanation later. These days, you wait for the second half of Friday All Night Service with longing. So, I will finish my sermon as quickly as possible. Many of you said, time flies in the second half. It's so exciting. I'm reminded of my first fervor. It's like the early church. I'm really longing for the second half. Me too. So, I will give you only brief explanation. The church in Laodicea represents churches that have no fervor, do not grow up, and don't even try to grow up. Like the church in Sardis, this church heard only the word of reprimand. There was no external persecution and no internal conflicts caused by heresies or immoral acts either. There was no such problems, but their spiritual growth stopped. Their faith became lukewarm and they lost life. Having a lukewarm faith refers to one's state of not being fervent and not growing, though he knows God is alive and there are heaven and hell. Such people go to church, but they don't communicate with the Holy Spirit and don't receive His guidance. They cannot see their own shortcomings, though they listen to the Word of God. As it continues to stay lukewarm, the faith will become cold, and such faith will never lead people to salvation. It will just result in death. That is why the Lord said, "I will spit you out of my mouth." This is about the church in Laodicea, and I will explain this church in detail later.
Let me conclude this message. Tonight, I told you about the summary of the seven churches. As I told you before, this word is very important to check our faith. Especially, we are living in time when the Lord is coming back quickly, so it is more so. It's very important. At the end of the word to the seven churches, our Lord asked them, whoever has the ear, to listen to the word of the Holy Spirit. Now, this ear refers to the ear which can hear the spiritual message. Only those who are spiritually awakened can listen to the spiritual message given by our Lord. Many churches and members of today should spiritually awaken and look back on themselves. They have to check whether their faith is true faith, whether they lost their first love, whether they were truly and spiritually faithful before Father God, or compromise with the world, whether they got lukewarm faith. They have to check all this. Especially, you have to think of what this church faces and discern well. We may have the look of the church in Ephesus or in Smyrna or in Pergamum or Thyatira. If you check and discern and change to become like the church of Philadelphia who received the only words of praise, through this time of blessing, our Lord will make our church, which was established through His blood, as a more pleasing and perfect church, so that we can lead many souls of the world to the way of salvation.
Dear brothers and sisters, before closing the message, I want to tell you something. What we should realize through the letters from the Lord given to the seven churches is that the Lord's deep love is one that nobody but He can give to us. Because He loves us so much, He points out and rebukes us. But at the end of the letters, He promises that He will bless us if we repent and turn back. It's like parents who punish their children but later treat their scars with tears. God constantly gives opportunities even to those who cannot but be put to death according to the justice. Thus, the word given to the seven churches in Revelation is the Lord's letter of tears for souls in this end time. At this end time, when the Lord's second coming draws near, the Lord expresses His fervent love in this message. Song of Songs chapter 8 verse 7 says, many waters we need to feel the love of the Lord deep in our hearts. Song of Songs chapter 8 verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love. nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. The Lord saved us with love that is stronger than death. I hope you will never let your heart taken away by anything but His love, and you will fall deep in love with Him. Only when you fall deep in love with Him, can you see only the Lord and live in true peace given by Him. I hope nothing will take us away from His love. Let's have fellowship of deeper love with the Lord and perfect ourselves in His love. Also, we should remember the teaching of the shepherd and his love that have taught us the love of the Lord and led us to love Him. I pray in the name of the Lord that through this time of blessing, your praise, your worship, and your first love will be recovered, and you will give more thanks for the grace of God.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.